Our first reading today comes from Isaiah 55. God's word to Israel's exiles is as sure and effective as never-failing precipitation. Their return to the Holy Land in a new exodus is cheered on by singing mountains and by trees that clap their hands. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn that come up on the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 65, and we'll read responsively. You are to be praised, O God, in Zion. To you shall vows be fulfilled.
To you, the one who answers prayer, to you all flesh shall come.
Our sins are stronger than we are, but you blot out our transgressions.
Happy are they whom you chose to draw your courts to dwell there. They will be satisfied by the beauty of your house, by the holiness of your temple.
Awesome things will you show us in your righteousness, O God of our salvation, O hope of all the ends of the earth and of the oceans far away.
You make firm the mountains by your power. You are girded about with might.
You still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the clamor of the peoples.
Those who dwell at the ends of the earth will tremble at your marvelous signs. You make the dawn and the dust to sing for joy.
You visit the earth and water it abundantly. You make it very plenteous. The river of God is full of water. You prepare the grain, for so you provide for the earth.
You drench the furrows and smooth out the ridges. With heavy rain you soften the ground and bless its increase.
You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths overflow with plenty.
May the fields of the wilderness be rich for grazing, and the hills be clothed with joy.
May the meadows cover themselves with flocks, and the valleys cloak themselves with grain. Let them shout for joy and sing. The second reading comes from Romans 8. There is no condemnation for those who live in Christ. God sent Christ to accomplish what the law was unable to do, condemn sin and free us from its slavery. The Spirit now empowers proper actions and values in our lives, and gives us the promise of resurrected life. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give you life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this, the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, is written in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. In Matthew's Gospel, both Jesus and his disciples sow the seed of God's word by proclaiming the good news that the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, in a memorable parable, Jesus explains why this good news produces different results in those who hear. The reading. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell upon the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." And there's a break in the text, and now we have Jesus explaining this parable, not to the crowd, but to his disciples. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a little while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another, 60, in another, 30. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Seeds, soils, and a sower. It's all about this amazing parable this morning. Using the common tools of a farmer, Jesus tries to get a message across, especially to his disciples. And so he talks about the fact that some folks will hear this parable, others will hear and fall away. Still others will not allow the message to take root at all. So he was saying to his disciples, when you preach the kingdom of heaven, my dear friends, it will not be easy. Do not expect everything to bloom immediately. So we learn that even his closest disciples, when push came to shove, when Jesus died on the cross and was put in the tomb, they panicked and they hid. But let's take another closer look at this parable. First of all, who is the good soil? Well, the tendency is, of course, it is you and I. We are the good soil. Well, who did Jesus say would go into the kingdom of heaven first, before the scribes and the Pharisees? He said the least of these, the little ones. probably the tax collectors, prostitutes, those who we have discarded in society, the poor, the forgotten. The disciples, indeed, were quick to abandon the crucified one. They weren't such good soil at that point. But Jesus never gave up on them. Jesus said after the resurrection, "I will meet you in Galilee." And there, indeed, Jesus met his disciples after the resurrection, and he gave them the mission of the kingdom of heaven. Go, baptize, teach, even to this motley crew who had abandoned him. So the first point is, let's not get puffed up as if we were the good soil. And what about the sower? What kind of farmer was he or she? Well, there's a word that I don't use very often, but here it comes. That sower was profligate. Have you heard that before? Profligate. Yes, recklessly extravagant or wasteful in his or her use of resources. Well, let me tell you what the sower was like. On the 4th of July, we had a parade through Glen, and I got to sit in the wagon, and sitting in front of me was London. London is the delightful grandchild of Dave and Joanne Steuben. Well, guess what London was doing? She had a bucket of candy that never ended, and she was throwing that candy out recklessly without abandon. And that's what the sower was like. The sower just threw the seed, Johnny Appleseed, threw them away. Let them go, let them fall where they may. What a delightful image. But the church, not so much, not so abandoned. Our tendency is to play it safe. When it comes to stewardship, we kind of hold tightly to our resources. We waste nothing, and we risk very little. When it comes to evangelism, unfortunately, we tend to talk to those who probably will join and probably will participate in the mission of the church. Back in the early 70s, there was a pastor at Central Lutheran in Minneapolis, big church, the anchor of the LCA at the time. His name was Reuben Gornitzka. And Reuben had a way of ministering to the people who were often forgotten, the very, very rich. People who very seldom came into the church. People who were stressed beyond belief in their administrative tasks, richly rewarded for it, but extremely stressed. Reuben had a way of counseling, of affirming and being there in Christ for those folks. And he was criticized for having a ministry to the rich. Interesting twist that we talk to people who tend to be like us, and we forget about people who are not like us, but who need the gospel just as much as anybody. So Jesus, as the sower, extravagantly generously throws these seeds out. Characteristic of prodigal son, the excessive forgiveness of the father, and even reminiscent of the parable of the workers in the vineyard, where the owner was willing to give generously a salary to those who worked only 1 hour, and to the disgruntlement of those who worked 8 hours. So the sower is profligate, recklessly extravagant. Well, what can we take from this parable for ourselves, for the church, and for our country? First of all, honesty would teach us that we have been troubled seeds, troubled seeds that fell on paths or rocky soil. Some of us just barely made it. Life is not easy for quite a few people who've fallen on rocky soil. But guess what? Here's the gospel. We were sown. We were thrown out to bear fruit. We had a chance, and God did not give up on us. I think that's an important message, that in the midst of your struggles, God never gave up on you. And so, therefore, how do we treat those who are struggling or who have little or no roots? They were sown. They deserve to thrive. That's one message that I think if we become honest, we were at times troubled seeds and got a break. Another lesson, I think, personally, is humility would teach us that we have been rocky soil. We have been rocky soil, giving barely enough to support those for whom we are responsible. Yet, by God's grace, we were enough for those whom the sower threw our way. They sprouted and they grew, and we shook our heads in amazement what God has been able to do with the little rocky soil that they were given. I've been in the Boundary Waters several times. For about 10 years in a row, I took groups of kids to the Boundary Waters, and it was amazing to come around an island and then see this rocky edifice and see a tree growing right out of the rock. How did that happen? Or maybe you've seen in your own driveway. hopefully not trees, but weeds coming up out of the pavement. It's amazing what God's seed will do in order to live. And it's a lesson for us, if we can nurture that a little bit, what a great bounty it would be. God throws the kingdom of God into our laps, and it grows. Therefore, that message has to do with don't knock those who are on rocky soil. Just watch what they will do. And then what about Bethesda? What about our life together as the people of God? What does this parable have to say to us? Well, playing it safe may be efficient, but we might miss entertaining angels unaware. We just might miss some beautiful moments if we hold in and control and take care of things so tightly that we are unwilling to risk. This parable suggests that we go out and with abandon mug the least of these. The least of these. Who's willing to do that? not too many. But that's the nudge of this parable. That we find a need and meet it, that we find a hurt and heal it. Especially when we do not have the resources or energy to accomplish those tasks on our own. Because we cannot do something alone doesn't mean that it shouldn't be done. So listen to this. On August 19th, I hope we show up. Saturday, August 19th. Pastor Sandy Holt, what's her last, middle, Sandy Holt Wheel? Sandy Bergholt has invited us to her parish where Pastor Amy Odgren, who is the new associate to Bishop Tom, is going to present a seminar entitled Discover Your Congregation's Vitality, or Our Congregation's Vitality as a Community of Faith in this area. What a great thing to find out that we can be a vital people of God by sharing resources with one another to accomplish the mission that God has given us that we can't do alone. So here we go, an opportunity to plug in. Well, finally, what does this mean for our country? Well, I believe that Christians in America are best equipped to dig in and take care of this earth, this soil that we live on, so that everyone can find a place that they can plant and water and call home. The psalmist says this, "You visit the earth and water it abundantly. You make it very plenteous. The river of God is full of water. You prepare the grain so you provide for the earth. You drench the furrows You drench the furrows and smooth out the ridges. With heavy rain, you soften the ground and bless its increase. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths overflow with plenty. May the fields of the wilderness be rich for grazing, and the hills be clothed with joy. May the meadows cover themselves with flocks, and the valleys cloak themselves with grain. Let them shout for joy and sing." That's what God wants for this earth. That's what God wants for us personally in our life as a child of God. And that's what God wants for Bethesda, to blossom and flourish and give thanks to God.